Thank you very much. So my talk is space for time substitution and paired plot design. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-author, Asim. So this is a typical landscape in Saskatchewan. And so you have a rolling landscape. And this shows the spatial variability you could have in the field. And our purpose is to understand that the processes or determine the relationship, for example, yield and fertilizers. And but this is spatial variability, strong spatial variability in soil and vegetation parameters, making us very hard to figure out where to place our experiment. And this kind of variability, some people really like it. It's the biodiversity study and flood control. For example, as a soil physicist and hydrologist, we would like to control the flood. If you have this, this would be perfect. And really bad for cost-effective soil management. So one way to deal with this spatial variability, as Harold talked about, we have this treatment with the replications and randomizations. And because of this strong spatial variability, and we only can do limited number of treatment and replications and only a few levels. But we need to cover the field, we need way more than that. So we are losing the battle against the spatial and temporal variability. This year we do experiment, next year the soil management, the climate, the soil condition may have changed. Then we need to do another set of experiment. And the other approach is to use models based on the mechanistic study or understanding. We develop models. Then we need to measure soil and the vegetation parameters. And usually, it is very hard to measure. As a soil physicist myself, we are puzzled with how can we measure these parameters and how often. And the third approach would be the statistical approach. I believe only the next talk will talk about this. How do you seek answers from the variability? Now, if you go into the soil, then we would have these different processes. Let's say what is happening in the soil surface, and we have preferential flow, shallow soil water content, and this happens within hours and days. Well, the rooting depth and the root distribution will be in months. And if you go deeper, the time scale is much larger. And for me, I'm interested in determining groundwater recharge. This will be decades. So if I lay out an experiment now, I wouldn't get a result before I retire. So the RCBD, which is good for crop, annual crop, would be used for study rapid process. Rapid means days and months, right? But experience challenge for slow process, especially those take decades or longer. Now this is very typical in the ecology. So when you have a disturbance, for example, fire, you would have a successional change in vegetations, and some of them need more than 100 years before you, then this is, well, it's in the field. You can seek those sites and understand the evolution process. So if you can't do a RCBD, then in some cases, we can look for help from the nature. For example, just after disturbance, and sometimes there's a gradient in the field, we may utilize that in the drivers to help us to understand the processes. And this is not new. In soil science, we have been doing this for decades and centuries. And so we utilize this chronosequence. And we think that the time is the only variable that have changed. Nothing else changed. And this leads to different soil series. And this, if we study the different theories, and this would be space for time substitution, because we have the change the layout in the space, and we study the temporal evolution. So that's called the space for time substitution. And this is used a lot in ecology and in climate global study, especially in biodiversity, nutrient cycling, productivity, disturbance study, and restoration. And if you look at the big papers in Science and Nature with climate change, most of them use this kind of design. But this design has fundamental assumption in it. And this assumption is the younger site is developing in a temporal pattern that is similar to the older site. Basically, it's assuming time is the only variable. Everything else kept the same. And because of that, the spatial pattern you find in the field can be or treated as equivalent to response of an ecosystem to a temporally changing driver. So that's, again, the time for space substitution is exhibited there. And if I stated those, will be all sites in the region share the same trajectory and end point. So you have a start point, you have end point, the path is identical, okay? And no reversal, cannot go back in time, and alternate pathway or site-specific peculiarity in the site. And what this says, we must have identical prior condition. When I say prior condition, really the initial condition, where you start with, and then the boundary condition, which is external to the system you are studying, for example, soil. And in soil, from Jennings study, we all know you have initial condition, you have topography, climate, and vegetation. Those are all you put or take away energy and matters from your system. And those has to be kept the same. So the initial condition and this boundary condition. So this, I just look at the this year's American Scientist Journal. They have a paper that says evolution's alternate pathways. And they talk about exactly the same idea. And in order to examine the land use change on soil water and organic carbon, so I laid out the experiment in Chinese Lurs Plateau, and I choose that site is because it has a uniform, deep, unsaturated zone, and the soil is really uniform when I show later on. So at their site, you have farmland, and then you plant orchard or trees, and then you have the mature orchard. And when the orchard is old, then you have to harvest it, and you start the cycle again. And we can actually lay this out in the field by farmers, because some of the farmers converted the cropland to orchard at a different time. You lay out the orchard in different span age in a field, so you can use space for time design to study this. This is a natural experiment that laid out within the period of 30 years. And so what we did is to find a different orchard of different span age and sample the soil to 25 meters. We measured the root distribution, soil carbon, and the soil water content, and this is the one of the profile you see. The soil is really uniform, provide the ideal media for space for time substitution. So this is a different kind of the orchard there. And so for this, we select a cornfield and the orchards of different standage, so we measured the soil water deficit. Some of them, like 8 years, you have 109 millimeter water deficit, but at 22 years, you would have 1600, which is three times the annual precipitation only from the soil. The maximum rooting depth from 9.6 meters to 23 meters, the organic carbon input can be negative to a pretty large number, and when for older orchard. And so let's look at the water deficit. So from zero to a really high water deficit, so with the increase of standage. But because we do not have the initial condition, we don't know what's the initial condition before the farmer converted to orchard, then we could have two hypotheses. One is with increasing standage, your water deficit increases. But also, the longer, the higher standage orchard would have a smaller time period for cultivation. You actually could say with a longer time of corn and wheat cultivation, you could have increased the soil water storage, and this way you get the same result. This is because we have no knowledge of the initial condition where it is required for the space for time substitution. So we have to prove which hypothesis is correct. And of course, we have to do additional sampling to solve this issue. This is the three orchard sampled in 2016. You can see the soil water content distribution in the soil is, they vary, but a very small range. But if you look at the farm field, the water content, especially in deep soil, is much higher. There's more variability, but the difference is so large between the orchard and the farmland. So the orchard standage is the dominant factor. And this is the root distribution, further verifying the first hypothesis. And this is the second one. When the orchard is harvested, the farmer began to grow corn and wheat again. And some of them, let's say 3 years after they harvested, and some of them is a 15-year harvest. So farmer apply a lot of fertilizer in the field, and then in the orchard, then the farm field. So this way we can use the fertilizer as a tracer for study the groundwater recharge and this. But we do not have an accurate history of fertilizer application. So the farmer may apply fertilizer at the first year of the orchard, and some of them may be only at 8 years when they have apples. So we do not have accurate history of the fertilizer application, which means we have a very uncertain boundary condition, as I talked about. And if we measure the chloride, which is a result of fertilizer application, it's very messy. We do not see any trend with the number of years since after the orchard is harvested. But we find the field site that the farmer has half of the field harvested, and then this has become a paired plot design. And so this is one of the picture in the field. And this is the measure the chloride concentration as a function of the number of years after the orchard is harvested. This is still apple orchard. I call the 0 year, and this is a 3 year. This is a 7 year, and this is a 15 year. If I measure the depth of the bulge and then put it here, this would be the trend. Now we have a good trend of the chloride belt as a function of years of replenishment in terms of water. So now we can use it to determine what is the groundwater recharge rate in a deep soil. And this is the assumption that we need to test for space for time substitution. And how can we use this kind of design? This kind of design can be used to generate a hypothesis. For example, this is the soil water content we measured in a field for different stand age. And so this is 8 years, 11, 15, and 18. So our hypothesis that orchard or deep-rooted vegetation utilize deep soil water just one time, because one time they would utilize it, become dry, and there are no very small recharge, and the water movement at the velocity much smaller than the root penetration. So this will be our hypothesis, and using this data, we can generate this hypothesis. Of course, later on, we have to use a model to verify it. So this kind of design is very good for us to generate hypothesis and using other tools to verify it and to test it. And this data also provide long-term data, or the design provide long-term data for validating models, because in hydrology, in climate study, we all need models. And with this long-term data, we can verify the model instead of using just 1 year or 2 years data. This will provide more constraint to the model, and it's a better tool for verification of models. Now, we all want to test the statistical significance. Now, the space for time substitution, sometimes we do not have replicates and may not have randomization. And a lot of cases, the high spatial variability also gave us a trouble for making type 2 error. And so that's a constraint we can for us to do statistical test. But we can do regression analysis, even though we don't have replication, but we can do regression analysis. For example, the amount of carbon input to the soil as a function of soil water deficit below 1 meter, there's a good relationship between those two. And in the climate change study, they use this kind of design a lot. For example, they want to find the annual mean NDVI and the annual evapotranspiration. They develop this relationship and expand it in a time domain to study what if the temperature increase this much in the future. And if the data, we do not have a replication and do not have randomization, and we cannot do statistical significance, but we can do biological, physical, and chemical. In this case, we need a threshold value we deal with, and then to test if the observed change exceeds the threshold value. For example, here, for the deep root, and this is the fine root length distribution in the soil profile, but we also have the root penetration resistance. Our understanding is that when the root penetration resistance is larger than 3 megapascal, there won't be root penetration. But why there are still so much root there? So this help us to test if the macropore is the channel for root to penetrate through this really dense layer. And so if we use 3 megapascal, and so this layer should be no root, but we still find a lot of root and that means the root is penetrating through the macro pores. And in soil physics, we also use a lot of practical significance tests. And basically, it's an uncertainty analysis. We test if the change is within the estimated uncertainty or the natural background variability. And I'll summarize. So the space for time substitution can be an alternative to RCBD in some situations, and we need to test the specific assumption behind the design, as I said, the initial condition, the boundary condition, and can be used to generate a hypothesis or test the hypothesis. It is the best with additional continuous monitoring data and can provide useful information for validating models. And it's funded by NSERC, the University of Saskatchewan sabbatical leave grant, and a student from China. And thank you very much.
Maybe we can have a time for one or two quick questions.
Okay.
Yes, please.
So I know for the output against complete transfer from the two at the beginning because I missed your presentation. But when you do regression analysis, you must, one of the things that you must follow is that the data that you're plotting are independent, spatially independent too. When we go to the field and we take a lot of data and we go to do the regression, we are inclined to just no operation between them. When we in this session know more than 5 or 6 of it. So how do you actually marry the assumption that you're making, or that we're making through regression, with no autocorrelation of the data?
Yeah. So we treated it this way: for our study, the orchard is laid out by farmers, so there is randomizations, and they could be very close and could be far away, and in this way, it satisfies the relation of independence. And this doesn't like a Herald study, which are very close to together, and this is can be a little bit further away. I guess when you really want to deal with this issue, this kind of issue, we can use the mixed model and to take the spatial structure into account. So again, for this kind of design, it can be really far away between this plot and that plot. We would think there is independence, the spatial similarity would be small for this case.